We've mentioned many times before that Parshas Vayishlach is a very, very unique Parsha. The Ramban points out that Parshas Vayishlach is the Torah's Hagalus. It's where we learn how we're supposed to act in Galus. Many stories in the Gemara, Midrashim, of great Tanam and Amoram, when they had to interact with foreign rulers, so they would first dive deep into Parshas Vayishlach. And obviously there are different messages that they learn from Parshas Vayishlach. And tonight we're just going to read a couple of psukim, a couple of small haras, small insights, and then, you know, the broader picture, obviously, about Vayishlach, and obviously connecting to Hanukkah. But at the beginning of the parsha, we start off with Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Artzeseir Sedei Edom. Page 170, that Yaakov sends messengers in front of him, his brother Esav, Artzeseir Sedei Edom. What's interesting is, why does the Torah tell us Artzeseir Sedei Edom? A number of Mefarshim struggle to understand, why do we need to know where Esav is? Why do we need to know where he sent these messengers and in which direction? And a lot of different approaches, Rishonim and Achronim weigh in on it. And I saw one very interesting insight. How does Yaakov know that he needs to send these messengers to Esav to try and appease Esav? Do you know how many years there were between their last time that they had a run-in? 34 years. He leaves his father's home. Yaakov leaves the home after taking the brachos. Rivka sends him away. He's in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. And 20 years he's in Haran. He's by Lavan for 20 years. So 34 years later, you want to know, is he still upset or is he not upset? And what's the indication that he needs to appease Esav, that Esav is still upset? Where does he live? In the land of Seir, by the fields of Edom. What is Seir and what is Edom? So we know Edom, right? We know, if you look in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, where do we have the word Edom? It's in Perek Chaf Hei. I believe, is it Pasuk Lamed? Yeah. Vayomer Esav al Yaakov, haliteni na min ha'adom, ha'adom hazeh ki ayef anochi, alken kara shemo Edom. The name is Edom. And why is he Edom? Because he tells Yaakov, when he's so exhausted and comes back from the field, pour, please, from this red stuff. Right? So he names his field, right? You know, there's the estate of Montebello, of Monticello, wherever it is that people live, you name your estates. And what's Esav's estate? It's Sedei Edom, the fields of Edom, the fields of the red. Meaning, what's it throwing back to? The fact that Yaakov hoodwinked me and he forced me to sell my birthright to him for a pot of red lentils. And so the name that he lives, the estate is called Edom. And what's the land? What's the name that Esav gives to the land? Seir. Where do we find Seir? When Rivka tells Yaakov, okay, get dressed up. You have to take these brachos. What does Yaakov say? Anochi ishchalach ulayi mesheni avi perek chav zayin pasuk yud alef yud beis. Very smooth, smooth skin. Ulai musheni avi vayisi beinav kimisateya. That it's gonna be clear that I'm tricking him. And his mother says, "Don't worry, it's gonna be on me." Vatikach Rivka es bigdei Esav b'nahagadol achamudos asher ita babayis vatalbeishes Yaakov in the special clothes ves oros gedei izim helbisha al yadav v'al chelkas tzavarav. Why does she put goatskin on him? Because Esav was hairy. Seir. So Esav, Yaakov wants to know, is Esav still ticked at me? Do I have to worry about Esav? And he hears, oh, he lives in a land of hairiness, and his estate, the fields of the red. And he's like, yeah, I'm in trouble, right? And that's why Yaakov Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav. Why does he send these Malachim to Esav? Because you know where Esav lives? Even though he's Esav Achiv, it's still Arta Seir Sidei Edom. That Esav doesn't let go. 34 years later, and Esav has not given up his anger, his frustration, his feeling deceived by his brother Yaakov. And so that's why Yaakov sends Malachim, sends messengers to try and appease Esav. Martin, what does he tell them? Kosom run ladoni Esav. This is what you say to my master, to Esav. Ko amar avdecha Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov says. Im lavan gartiv eicharadata. With lavan I have dwelled and I've delayed until now. Vayhi li shor v'chamar tzon v'eved v'shevcha v'ashlacha lahagid ladoni limtzochem be'enecha. And I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and servants and maids, and I send them v'ashlacha lahagid ladoni, and I will send to tell my master limtzochem be'enecha, to find favor in your eyes. So this is Yaakov's message to his brother. 34 years apart, first contact, first exposure to one another, and he knows Esav is ticked. Again, he's in Arts Aseir Sedei Edom, and this is the message. What's the message? We have to unpack the message. So Rashi famously tells us, a song made out of it. I think every year I sing the song, because like you can't get to, I mean, there's so much in Vayishlach, but it's like hard to get past the beginning of the Parsha, because it's there's so much here. Garti. Lo nasi, lo Rashi, Yud Zayin, 170, Pasuk Hey, Garti, lo nasi si sar v'choshuv elager. I didn't become a prince or someone important, but I was like a stranger. Einecha kedai lisnosi al birkos avicha. You shouldn't hate me because of the brachos of your father, shebirchani hayegevir lachecha, who blessed me that you should be the one to lord over your brother. And again, the Lashonos here, we've learned in past years, there's a lot to unpack, but we'll go further. Shahari lo niskaimu bi, it wasn't fulfilled in me. Interesting, he's a ger, but then he does say in the next bracha that I have all of this wealth. So to a degree, it was fulfilled, right? Davar acher garti b'gematria taryag kilomar im lavan harasha garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti v'lo limadti mimasav haram. I lived with Lavan the Rasha, our uncle Lavan, and 613 mitzvahs I observed, and I didn't learn from his actions, his evil actions, anything. So the question is, what is the second message? I understand the first message. He's telling him that the brachos weren't mekuyam in me. What does it mean? Why does Esav care that he kept 613 mitzvahs? What does Esav care about what Yaakov's spiritual level is? So there are a number of approaches as to what's going on here. And there's one very, very beautiful approach from Sefer Beis Yitzchak, who says that Yaakov makes it clear that what do I want? I want peace. This next pasuk again, lahagid ladoni limtzachein be'enecha. I want to send what? I want to send these gifts to find favor in your eyes, to make nice. But at the same time, what message is he telling him? When he says im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, that even though I want to make shalom, even though I want to have peace with you, Esav, but understand the peace will not come with me giving up on my values and my ideals. I am not going to compromise those things. Like, I'll make nice. I'll give you this money. I'll give it all to you. That's not what I want. But my values, the Targi Mitzvah Shamarti, I'm not giving up on that. When you talk about Torah Hagalus, you know, of course, as Jews, we have a responsibility to the society around us. But to what point do we have a responsibility to the society around us? Right? Of course, we're supposed to contribute properly, you know, the Gemara tells us about giving tzedakah to non-Jews, that that's something that we do, that's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Gemara in Gittin tells us, mipnei tikkuna olam. But we have to recognize that it only goes so far. It only goes to a point at which we're not going to give in, we're not going to capitulate, we're not going to compromise on these values. And that's what the Sefer Beis Yitzchak says is the message that Yaakov's telling Esav here. He says, I want to be good with you, but understand, and I'll give up almost anything. But you know what I'm not going to give up? What I'm not going to give up are my religious values. What I'm not going to give up is the Torah that I received from our father and from Yeshivas Shem V'Ever. But the question is, what does that mean? Taryag mitzvah shamarti, Yaakov couldn't have kept 630 mitzvahs. It's impossible. And there's the broader question of the avos nimos, keeping Torah, eating matzah. But as we said before, and this the Chassam Sofer says, and many mefarshim say, what does shamarti here mean? It's the shamarti in the beginning of next week's parsha. In the beginning of Vayeshev, we also have a strange usage of shamar. It's perek lam zayin pasuk yud alef 37:11. Ve'ikanu bo echav v'aviv shamar es adavar. Yaakov Avinu, right? What does shamar here in this context mean? Rashi says, hayamamtin umetzape masayavo, that he was waiting umetzape and anxiously looking masayavo, when would the dreams of Yosef come to fruition? When would they be mikuyim? So what Yaakov is saying here is lavan harasha garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. Doesn't mean literally he kept them. This is part of this message that he's telling Esav. Saying, you know what I really care about? Taryag mitzvah shamarti, what I anxiously look forward to is opportunity to do as many mitzvahs as I can. That's what I'm about. That's what motivates me. That's what I want out of life, Esav. So that's the one thing I'm not willing to give up. And that's what he says, v'lo lamadti mimasav haran, that even though I was with our uncle Lavan, who was a lowlife, who was deceptive, who was a cheat, who all these bad things that we say about Lavan, and even though Lavan, we know, of course, the name means what? White, that he would always show the best of intentions, and he'd always present a certain persona and a certain out. But everyone knew you turned around, Lavan was going to stab you in the back. You knew you had to be exceptionally careful with dealing with Lavan. And Yaakov says, you know how I was able to keep my cool? You know how I was able to keep focused when I was dealing with Lavan? Because Taryag mitzvah shamarti. What I was looking for was mitzvahs. I wasn't looking for the wealth. I wasn't looking. That's what really I wanted to learn from Lavan. And this, of course, is something that we've spoken about many times. This is, you know, a theme we said last week, right? In last week's Parsha, in Parshas Vayetze, Rav Soloveitchik points out that in the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu dreams about what? He dreams about angels going up and down the ladder. And what does he dream at the end of the Parsha?
Sheep.
He dreams about the sheep and the goats. And as we said, Yaakov was starting to be influenced. And that's when the Malach Hashem tells him, okay, Yaakov, you got to go back. You got to go back. You have to self-correct. And if you remember, we've spoken about this in the past in Shiurim and Drashos, the very famous approach that Yaakov isn't struggling with an external force in the middle of the night when he's left alone. But who is Yaakov really struggling with in this great wrestling match? It's himself, Vayavik Ish Imo Aralos HaShachar, that Yaakov was struggling with himself. That was the fight that's going on. And part of the struggle, some say, was as he's coming back to the land before he meets Esav, you know, this is the message he sent Esav. Taryag mitzvah shamarti v'lalamanti mimasav haroim. Yaakov says, I'm talking a good game, but am I really living a good game? Look at what I've done. Look at this big family. Look at all this wealth that I built up. Right? B'derech sha'adam rotze leilich malichin oso, the path that a person wants to go on, God will bring you down that path if that's really what you want. Do I really want spirituality? Is what I want really mitzvos? Or look how wealthy I am. Maybe I'm really about the wealth. And that's the struggle that Yaakov Avinu, he has that night with himself. What am I really, really all about? And this, of course, when we talk about Torah's Hagalos, and especially now when there's so much virtue signaling in the world around us, you know, we have to remember where our virtues come from. Again, not socialized Judaism, but what the Torah tells us about these things. And we have to be careful to make sure that our perspectives are perspectives coming from a place of v'ani kirvas Elokim litov, that for me, what's good is coming close to Hashem. That's what we have to make sure, that that's really where our values lie. And this is what Yaakov is telling Esav in the beginning, and that's why Imlavan Garti, as Rav Soloveitchik says, he doesn't say Imlavan Yashavti. Right? Garti is a Lashon Ger. So Rashi says it's to tell us, he's telling Esav, don't hate me, I never became so powerful, I was still like a stranger in their land. But Rav Soloveitchik says, why does he use the Lashon Imlavan Garti Vecharadata? That's why Rashi's quoting the Medrash. Why Garti? Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. I made myself a ger, right? In every Jewish home, in post-Churban, we don't finish, you know, the meaning is, you don't finish an Amma by an Amma. Why not? To show that my house is incomplete, right? That there's a part of us at every wedding. You break the glass. Why do you break the glass? At the moment of greatest joy, we're not whole. We're still broken. Because we have to remind ourselves as Jews that we are still living in a broken world. I mean, again, 100 years ago, we didn't need these reminders, right? But in today's day and age, we live in a gullus that it's so easy to forget that we're in gullus. We live in a gullus where it's all too easy to miyad achi, miyad esav, as the Beis Halevi famously says, when Yaakov, we know he prepares for three things. Daron, gift, making peace, milchama, war, and what's the other thing? Tefillah, he davens. And we know that when he davens to Hashem, what does he say? He says, Hatzileni na, miyad achi, miyad Esav. He says, Hashem, please save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. And the Beis Halevi famously says, it's Pasuk Yud Beis, it's 32:12. Why does he say, from my hands of my brothers, from the hands of Esav? Right? Because I'm afraid of him. Maybe he'll come and he'll strike me down, mother and children. So there's two statements, because I'm afraid of him, and maybe he's going to come and strike down mother and children. So the two statements of I'm afraid of him, and maybe he'll come and strike down mother and children, is miyad achi, that's the first part, I'm afraid of him. Miyad Esav, from the hands of brother, the hands of Esav, pen yavovi kani emal banim. And the Beis HaLevi, or the first Rav Yosef Tov HaLevi Soloveitchik said, what's the message? That Yaakov Avinu is afraid of two things. I'm afraid of Esav, is Esav the Russian. What's Esav the Russian going to do? Pen yavovi kani emal banim. Maybe he'll come and he'll strike down mother and children with absolute cruelty. That's Esav the Russia. But I'm more afraid of what? What's the first thing I'm afraid of? Miyad achi, from the hand of my brother. Ki arei anochi osa. I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of him as my brother. I'm afraid that he's going to say, what? Let's go to the bar together. Let's go hang out together. Let's vacation together. That's what I'm more afraid of, Yaakov Avinu says. I'm more afraid of Esav is going to come with the arms wide open. And we see it today. We see it today. Aside from the undercurrent of anti-Semitism out there, and that everyone's talking about, but unfortunately, do you know how many Jews are still marrying non-Jews? Maisim b'chol yom? It's crazy. I mean, we live in little cocoons. But you don't have to go too far out. You don't have to go too far out. And ain't bias, I share again, second cousins, you know. Don't worry, I'll post a white Torah. I don't think these second cousins are ever going to listen to a shir. I mean, halvai they should. Halvai they should listen to a shir on white Torah. Halvai. Hashem should bring the light of Torah into their hearts. But as the father tells me, you know, one son lives in Woodstock, New York with his Gaish wife. The other lives in a part of Florida. He goes, not the Hamish part of Florida, the redneck part of Florida. That's the part of Florida, you know, his son and a non-Jewish wife and non-Jewish grandkids live. My second cousin, we share the same great-grandfather, Rebbe and Torah Vadas. This second cousin of mine, we share the same great-grandfather, a Rebbe and Torah Vadas. That's who it was. Miyad Achi, this is the greatest danger. And we have to recognize, when we talk about the Toras HaGalos, looking at Parshas Vayishlach, it's such a clear message. At the very beginning of Vayishlach, the greatest threat is the threat when we lose our values. When we lose that understanding of where we are, and what have we been saying the past few weeks in about Hanukkah, right? The Galus Yavan, remember we already said this, I think twice, right? Remember, where were we during Galus Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim? Where were we during Galus Bavel and Bavel? Where were we during Galus Parsamat? Where were we during Galus Yavan? We were in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. We're now in Galus Edom, the end of Galus Edom. Galus America. We have Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Harabayit Biyadenu at one point in 1967, Harabayit Biyadenu. But yet how many people, even now, Rahman al-Islam, Jews, that are losing a connection to Arzeno HaKadosha. 1967, even the Reform Movement's journal was talking about the land of Israel and redemption. It was like unbelievable. Nowadays, this is such a tragic, tragic thing that's taking place. But this is the Toras HaGalos that the Ramban's talking about. And as Jews, we have to remember what Yaakov Avinu tells Esav. I'll do anything to be good with you, except don't ask me to give up my values. That I'm not going to compromise on. And you know, this is something that famous story with Chazon Ish about, you know, when he asked him about certain heterim for Kirov, and the Chazon Ish was very concerned. It's like, of course, bring Jews back. It's such an important thing. You have to be very careful how far you go. You have to be very careful how far you go to bring the Jews back. You know, I mean, again, you know, they're unfortunate, you know, spiritual devastations that have been wrought with good intentions of trying to do great things. And unfortunately, when the lines are blurred too much, people fall by the wayside. And this is what we have to recognize now, because we're coming to a point in the Galus in which, you know, the values, the essential values of what it is to be a God-seeking, observant Jew are coming under fire all the time from all different sides. It's like unbelievable. As God-seeking Jews, we have to constantly be reminding ourselves that we're not going to capitulate on certain things. That there are certain things that, listen, we love you. We want to be a part of the League of Nations. We want to, but understand there are certain things as Jews that ad kan velo yoser, up till this point, and we don't go any further. And this is something that is a struggle. I understand this isn't an easy thing. This is not an easy thing. If it was easy, then guess what? It wouldn't be a challenge. It wouldn't be the final, maybe some argue, the final hurdle that we have in Galus. This is the last thing. We know the light of Chanukah is the Or of Shal Mashiach. And what's interesting is, Reb Meir Shapiro, the great Lubliner, the founder of Daf Hayomi, Reb Meir Shapiro, the founder of Chachmei Lublin, an unbelievable visionary and dreamer who transformed one of them, you could argue one of the 10 most important Jewish leaders in the 20th century. Some have him on that list. Reb Meir Shapiro asks, why does he tell Esav at the end, V'lo lamadati mimasav haram? What does that mean? V'lo lamadati mimasav haram, that I didn't learn from them? So one level it means I wasn't influenced by them, but Reb Meir Shapiro sees a deeper lesson. When we talk about the Toras HaGalos, Yaakov Avinu here is actually regretting something. You know what he's regretting? He's telling Esav, you know the one thing I regret? V'lo lamadti mimasav haran. Tarig mitzvah shemarti, but v'lo lamadti mimasav haran. I didn't learn from his evil. What was he supposed to learn from his evil actions? What's Yaakov Avinu regretting that he didn't learn from Lavan? You know why Lavan was so successful? Because Lavan would do anything to get his goal. There was not, Lavan would sell out his daughters. Lavan would sell his sister. Lavan would kill his father. I mean, Lavan would do anything. Lavan would do anything to get his goal, of Meir Shapiro says. Yaakov Avinu says, V'lo l'madti me'masav aram. Shucks. The one thing that I didn't learn from Esav, from Lavan, that I should learn from him. The way he went after his masav haram, his evil deeds, I should have learned his mesiras nefesh and to put it to good things. And again, why here at this point is he saying it to Esav? So it's what to think about. For meaning, maybe he means that I'm not going to, he's telling him I'm not going to fight you. L'lamati mimasav haram. But Meir Shapiro says that when a person accomplishes something great, maybe horribly great, great but bad, right? Like Ollivander says about the wand and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, right? That Voldemort did great things with his wand, terrible but great, right? So how do these things happen? With Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. Rav Shlomo Volbe, we one time learned this before, Rav Shlomo Volbe, wait, I don't think I mentioned that. I mentioned this in the last week's shiur. Shlomo Volbe points out that every, I know I said it in a drasha, but just like I could say things in a drasha that I said in a shiur, the things I said in a shiur that I could say in drasha, vice versa. So Rav Shlomo Volbe says every yontif has its midah, that you have to really connect to the midah, and you draw down a reservoir of that attribute for the whole year. On Rosh Hashanah, we draw down Malchus Shemayim, being Mekabel Hashem is King. Right? On Yom Kippur, what's the midah of Yom Kippur? Of course, Tshuva. Sukkis, Simcha. Purim, Bitachon. Pesach is Emuna. Shavuos is, of course, Torah. Right? What's Chanukah? The last yontif of all Yomim Tovim. The last yontif that Chazal gave us. The yontif that has to last us ad bias goel tzedek, until the coming of Mashiach. Right? What's the message of the last yontif that Chazal gave us and said, this is the yontif that's going to hold you? And they understood what the skullus was going to be, right? Yaakov Avinu, last week's parsha. He sees the Malachim Olim Viardim. Each Malach represents a different exile. Mitzrayim goes up and down. Bavel up and down. Persia up and down. Yavan up and down. There's one Malach that's going up. Yaakov doesn't see him coming down. And that's, he starts getting very afraid. And Hashem has to tell him, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov. Don't be afraid. Your children are going to get through this one also. And which go was that, of course? As we said, Edom, it's still going on. No Golas comes close to this. Egypt, they were there 210 years. How many years was it real? Again, it was Golas the whole time. But how many years was it the Koshi HaGolas, the harshness of the Golas? Probably, no, not 210. Probably less than 100 years. Most assume it was less than 100 years of Bavel. How long was Golas Bavel? 70 parasimadai that was mixed. I'm not saying my wife, God forbid, is ever wrong. But parasimadai, well, Persia is probably part of Gullus, but right?
You didn't practice this one.
All right. That's why this is in Sheila's house. This is a safe zone. No. but the idea that parasimadai is Yavan, it was all during Bayesheni. But Edom, Gullus Edom, Churban Bayesheni, almost 2,000 years. 1,952 years. That's how many years Galus Edom has been going on. And so what message did Chazal give us? What is the lekach, the take-home midah of Chanukah? And you know what Rav Volbe says is the midah? It's Mesiras Nefesh. Because think about it. And you know, I share this with people and they're like shocked. All the Maccabee brothers got killed except for one. Judah Maccabee got killed. Elazar was killed. Yochanan killed. Yehonasan killed. Shimon was the only one that makes it to the end, basically. They're all killed. All the four brothers. The only one survives. This was Mesiras Nefesh Mamish. They went up against the Greek Syrian Empire, the Seleucid Empire. They were hoping to start something that would catch, that would be able to throw them off. But there was, did they really, I wonder, did they really think they were going to win? I don't know. But they felt, we have to do this. Micha mocha belem Hashem makabi. Mi Hashem elai. Like there's some times that we're not going to give up our values. We're going to fight to the death for them. That's what Hanukkah was. Mesiras nefesh mamash for exactly what we're talking about. No, we're not going to offer pigs as sacrifices. You're going to take away Shabbos? You're going to take away Limud HaTorah? You're going to take away Bris Milah? No, we're going to fight to the death for these things. You're telling me, no, you can live your lives and have your cultures. Just a couple of laws we're just going to take away. No. We can't do that. And Rav Volbi says, Chanukah is the yontif of Mesiras Nefesh. This has been the defining trait of the Jewish people for 2,000 years. We talk about Mesiras Nefesh. Think about it. You're sitting at this table right now because of the Mesiras Nefesh of how many generations? How many generations back? Think about the Mesiras Nefesh. We're sitting here right now because of how many great, 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 how easy do you think their lives were? But they refused to give up. They said, this is life. Without Torah. And that's why we all sit here today. It's really a very humbling thought when you think about it. But yet, the Mesiras Nefesh that we need in our day and age is no less serious. It might be of a different nature. It might be of a different hue. But there is no less of a necessity for Mesiras Nefesh in our day and age. And look, you know, it can come out in so many different ways. It can come out in so many different ways in Mesiras Nefesh that we need. But it has to be a real sustained effort. Mesiras Nefesh isn't necessarily a one-time thing. The Maccabee revolt went on for years. For years. Think about the lives that our great-great-great-grandparents were living in Galicia and Poland and... No Sardom here, right? Okay, so no, I mean, no one was in Morocco or in Syria or in Iran or Iraq. Okay, right. So, yeah, well, we're all bland Ashkenazi, right? But I'm so right, basically Galicia, Lithuania, Russia, Poland, we're good. Okay, those, right? Okay, maybe Western Europe, some of us. But Lamaisa, do you realize the Mesiras Nefesh they had during their lives? To say that, no, I'm going to live as a Jew because we know... The Haskalah. We know there are many times in Jewish history that people just walked away. Ironically, rarely did they walk away for the same reasons that people are walking away today. Because of Miad Achi. Very often it was Miad Eis of trying to run away from the persecution, trying to run away. But nowadays, it's a different type. And this is the Mesiras Nefesh that we have to have today. This is what Rabbi Meir Shapiro said. I should have learned from his Ma'aseh of Haran. Because you can learn from a Rasha. Look, I mean, we know that that's what Rav Noach Weinberg has, that shocking statement that we always say. That who do we all have to learn from? Hitler, Yimach Shema V'zichra. Why? Take Hitler out of the equation. What happens to the world in 1933 and on? Does the world follow the same trajectory? It's crazy. You take one person out of the equation. The world is so different. The world is just so different. So Reb Noach often says that the power of good is much more powerful than the koach of ra. And he says if one person can bring such ra to the world, imagine the good one person can bring to the world. That's what many say, who Mashiach will be. Mashiach might not be, you know, this miraculous figure flying on a white donkey. I mean, that would be pretty cool. But Lemaisa, Mashiach might be a person who is just bringing so much good into the world. I mean, again, who, you know, who is that? What would that look like? I don't know, but today's day and age, you know, could reach people in a lot of ways through media and Who knows? Maybe, Mashiach's going to buy Twitter and Facebook and Meta, and he's going to change the world that way. Can you imagine? Who knows? I don't know. That would be a hard one, huh, Rachel? That would be right. But Lamaisa, I think that for each and every one of us, whether you're Mashiach, me the Mashiach's at the table, I don't know but I think we all have our roles to play. And we came into this very, very challenging time in Jewish history. Baruch Hashem, not really challenging from perspective of having our heads bashed in by non-Jews, but a very different type of challenging. Miad Achi, not a Miad Eis of challenging. But the requirement for Mesiras Nefesh is no less. It's no less. And this is what we have to try to find that reservoir. And this is what, during Chanukah, we can connect to what we should be davening for. When we stare at the Neiros to bring out that strength, that light that's inside, to be able to overwhelm and overpower all the Nisyonos, to give us that conviction and that Mesiras Nefesh. And Be'ez Hashem, with Hashem's help, obviously, the Gemara tells us every day, the Yetzer Hara gets stronger and stronger, and the only way that we can beat the Yetzer Hara is every day to ask Hashem for Hashem's help in us defeating the Yetzer Hara. So we have to do that. But when we come to Chanukah, we have to remember to daven for another unique thing, just like we daven for Emunah on Pesach, just like we daven for success in Torah on Sukkot, on Shavuos, just like we daven for Hashem is our King on Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippur we daven for Tshuva, and on Sukkot we daven to be filled with joy, with Simcha for the whole year. On Chanukah we have to daven, Hashem, give me the koach to get through the Skalas. Give me the koach for Mesiras Nefesh. And Be'ez Hashem, Kein Yi Ratzon, it'll be Hashem's will that we ask for it, He'll give it to us, and we'll live very, very much lives of warmth, of light, and Mesiras Nefesh for doing great things. Shkoyach. Thank you, of course, to Sheila and Adam. Well, Sheila. Adam somewhere for hosting this year tonight. Shkoyach.